too much into their comments. So, Mason and I are getting married next month in an outdoor ceremony at Clay and Samantha's house, Katrina said offhandedly. Levi already RSVP'd just for himself before you started dating, but I hope you'll come too. Sarah really liked these two women, a lot, and she knew they were trying to make her feel welcome and a part of a group, but chances were that in a month she'd be gone.
Thank you for the invitation. I appreciate it, she said, but didn't give Katrina a firm response. Here's a pair of jeans in your size, Samantha said triumphantly, just as Sarah found one on clearance.
She pulled the denim from her rack as she reached for the pair Samantha held out to her. She'd try both of them on, but with her limited funds, Sarah was hoping the cheaper pair fit better, because there was no way she was letting Levi pay for anything. While Katrina continued perusing other outfits, Samantha walked with Sarah to the dressing room. Before they reached the counter, she lightly touched Sarah's arm and brought her to a stop. She glanced at the other woman curiously, not sure what she wanted or needed. Samantha's gaze was kind and genuinely caring.
I hope you don't mind, but Clay told me a bit about what you've been through lately, being held up at the mart, then having your room broken into and trashed. I'm really very sorry, and if there is anything I can do to help you out, don't ever hesitate to ask.
Then she smiled sweetly.
I've had a similar experience in starting over with nothing, so I understand how hard it can be.
Sarah blinked at Samantha, stunned by her offer of help, but also shocked that this gorgeous, refined woman could relate to her situation.
Thank you.
Samantha hesitated for a moment, then decided to speak whatever was on her mind.
I also wanted to tell you that Levi is a great guy, and he's the real deal, just in case you haven't already figured that out for yourself.
I have, she assured the other woman. But none of this was about Levi or how great of a guy he was. It was about Sarah's messed up life and the fact that she couldn't offer Levi even one-tenth of what he was giving to her. Samantha gave her one last smile, along with a gentle arm squeeze, then headed back toward where the guys were standing. Sarah went into her assigned dressing room, her mind spinning with everything that Samantha had just told her. She already knew that Levi was a one-of-a-kind guy. That had been evident since the first day she'd met him at the convenience store, but what she'd learned about him over the past few days had only solidified that impression. She'd never come across a man so genuine and caring and protective, or one with a childhood as tragic as her own. As she took off her old, faded jeans, she thought about everything that had transpired last night. The way he'd opened up to her about his mother had nearly broken her heart, but what really got to her was the way he'd listened while she'd told him about Dylan and how quickly he'd come to her defense without judging her at all. Levi was everything she could ever want in a man, but she'd learned time after time that anything good in her life never lasted long. If there was any real happiness for her to find, it was always stolen away right when she became too complacent. When something started to feel too good to be true, it usually was, and heartache ensued. It was a cycle she couldn't seem to escape, so why would Levi be any different? It didn't matter that she was seriously falling for him, she thought, as she put on the less expensive jeans and looked at herself in the mirror, grateful to see that they fit just fine. It didn't matter that sex with him was like nothing she'd ever experienced before, and probably never would again. And it definitely didn't matter that he made her happy and hopeful and so incredibly content when she was with him. No, that was usually the warning sign that, just around the corner, life was going to pull the rug out from under her feet, again. So, for right now, she just needed to be grateful for the time she had with him and enjoy every moment, even as a huge lump formed in her throat at the thought of her time with Levi coming to an end. She forced back the emotion and stripped off the pair of jeans just as she heard a male voice talking to the dressing room attendant. A moment later, a knock sounded on her door, startling her.
Hey, did you find a pair of jeans that worked?
Levi asked in a low voice. The corner of her mouth kicked up in a smile, the same way her heart raced a little faster whenever he was around, and she welcomed the distraction from her two depressing thoughts. Unlatching the door, she stood behind it, since she was only dressed in a shirt and her underwear, and peered out at him.
Yes, I found a pair. What are you doing in the women's dressing room, and how did you get in here?
He gave her a sinful smile that immediately made her melt inside.
I thought you might need some help, or my opinion about how they fit.
He lowered his voice and winked at her.
At least, that's what I told the girl out there.
I already took them off, she said, not trusting that smile or devilish wink for a second.
Even better, he murmured, and easily pushed his way inside the room.
She was too astonished by his bold move to do anything but gape at him and step back as he entered. The moment he closed and locked the door, then backed her up against the nearest wall, she knew she was in trouble. The sexy kind of trouble she knew would be difficult to resist.
Before he got any closer and obliterated her ability to think, she pressed both palms against his chest to stop his approach. He halted, even though she knew her hand was no real deterrent for what he had in mind.
Where are the girls? She whispered. And Mason and Clay.
The thought of them waiting outside of the dressing room while Levi did whatever he intended to do made her cheeks warm.
I told them that I could handle things from here, so they left.
He gently grabbed the hands she'd planted on his chest, raised them both above her head, and easily secured them against the wall with one of his own. Then he wedged his knee between her legs, forcing them a few inches apart. Her eyes widened and her pulse hammered, in panic and excitement, when she realized his intent.
You wouldn't dare, she said in a low, hissing voice.
Yeah, I would.
He replied unabashedly, and followed up that promise by slipping his fingers into the waistband of her panties.
Consider it another one of my fantasies I didn't know I had until right this very moment. The thought of giving you an orgasm in a public place is making me hot as fuck.
His fingers slid directly between her thighs and into her pussy, making her suck in a gasp as he concentrated his efforts on her clit, bringing it to life with a few skillful strokes. Immediately, she knew this wasn't going to be a slow and leisurely climb. No, it was going to be fast and reckless and wild. She bit back a moan when he pushed two fingers deep inside and rubbed his thumb over that bundle of nerves, drawing more moisture from her body. The wicked grin he gave her said it all, that he knew how aroused she already was, and he was thoroughly enjoying himself, despite the pleasure being all hers. She tried to bring her hands down to grab his head to kiss him, to smother the noises she was trying desperately not to make, which would draw attention to their room and what he was doing to her, but he merely tightened his hold on her wrists, reminding her who was in charge. He was, always, and she loved it. He watched her face as he dragged the tips of his fingers along a sensitive patch of skin along her inner walls, and her legs began to shake. The pressure and friction increased on her clit, and the combined sensations had her splintering apart. She wanted to scream from the pleasure rushing through her in waves, but she couldn't, so instead, she closed her eyes and silently shuddered against the hand and fingers playing her so expertly, and enjoyed the rest of the ride straight into bliss.
Chapter 12. For the next 5 days, Levi accompanied Sarah to and from work, and she was never left alone. If, for some reason, he couldn't keep an eye on her, one of his brothers did. It had to be that way until he knew for certain that Dylan was no longer a threat, except there was no telling how long that would be. Levi and Sarah had settled into a pattern at home. He'd never had a woman spend time at his place, but he discovered that he truly enjoyed having Sarah around, and he was quickly getting used to having her in his life on a daily basis, going to bed with her every night, waking up together in the morning, and sharing meals and easy conversation were becoming a comfortable routine he looked forward to. With him on leave for at least another week, they spent their days out, at a movie, lunch, or even a walk on Navy Pier or along Chicago's lakefront trail, anything to keep her mind distracted until her shift started at Kincaid's for the evening. He'd even treated her to a Sunday at Ghirardelli's in the city, a place she'd always wanted to go to as a kid, but had never had the opportunity. Seeing her relaxed, laughing and smiling and gazing at him so affectionately only solidified his growing feelings for her, and made him more determined than ever to show her how perfectly she fit into his life,
in so many ways. He'd never believed he'd settled down with just one person, never thought there would ever be a woman who understood not only his personal quirks, but also his painful past. But Sarah accepted him, damaged past, flaws, and all. Having been a waitress a few times before, she'd made an easy transition to the bar. She was efficient, competent, great with customers, and every night she'd come home with a good amount in tip money, far more than she was making at Circle K. He knew she was squirreling that cash away, and for now he let her, because there was no sense in arguing over wanting her to remain in Chicago with him when she still felt threatened by Dylan. Undoubtedly, a conversation like that would only push her away and make her more guarded. All he could do was show her how much she meant to him and how much he cared. So far, Nick didn't have much to report on Dylan. The guy used a post office box for any mail delivery, and his last known physical address had been an apartment he no longer lived at, which meant he was probably residing solely at the sacrosanct compound. Levi had made his own calls and contacts at the 18th District Police Department, where they had jurisdiction over Fairdale, to find out what they knew about the supposed community. Come to find out, Sacrosanct was already involved in a lengthy and ongoing investigation with the FBI and ATF for suspected weapons violations. They'd already issued a search warrant and thoroughly inspected the grounds and spoken with the members. The two agencies had even brought Rick, the leader of the group, in for an interview, but had found nothing they could use to shut the place down. If there was any wrongdoing going on, the community hid it well. But none of that news meant that Sarah was safe, and every day that passed made Levi feel tenser about the situation. Tonight, he was sitting on a stool at the far end of the bar at Kincaid's in what had become his usual spot. He'd traded in his normal orange juice for a Sprite and lime, which had been Tara's suggestion to shake things up, she'd teased him. As he nursed the drink, he kept his gaze on the Sunday evening crowd. It was the slowest day of the week, but still busy enough to keep Sarah's section full of customers.
Everything still status quo?
Levi pulled his gaze away from the main part of the bar, where the tables and dance floor were located, and glanced at his brother Mason, who slid onto the seat next to his. Over the last couple of nights, it had been Clay who'd hung out with Levi. Not that he needed any backup when both his brothers had women at home they could be spending their time with. But it was nice to know they cared enough about Sarah and what was going on with her to keep themselves involved, even if it was just to keep him company for an hour or two while he waited for her shift to end.
Nothing new to report, Levi confirmed as he took another drink of his Sprite.
His brother gave him a lopsided smile and nudged the elbow Levi had braced on the bar.
That's a good thing, right? Yeah, but it's frustrating too,
he admitted. And when Mason gave him a curious look, he elaborated.
It's this stupid catch-22 feeling of wanting something to happen so it can just be over for Sarah so she can put this entire incident behind her, and dreading it being over.
Mason smirked, his eyes glittering with amusement.
Damn, I'm having a hard time believing that Mr. Cool, Calm, and Collected has fallen in love, though it's nice to know you're human, after all, beneath all that straight-laced control, he joked.
Levi ignored Mason's wisecrack and instead frowned at him as he focused on the first part of that sentence.
I never said I was in love with Sarah.
Are you saying you aren't?
Mason countered with a raised brow.
Because if that's the case, I'm going to have to call you out for being a fucking liar.
Levi blinked at Mason, stunned by the fact that his sibling, who'd once thought of love as a dirty word, was now suddenly an expert on Levi's emotions. He would have called out Mason for being a dick, but the thing was, his brother was actually being sincere in his encouragement, and that in itself was a shocking change, too. Levi narrowed his gaze at Mason.
Who the hell are you, and what have you done with my self-centered asshole brother?
Mason chuckled, not at all offended by Levi's comment, not when they'd spent most of their adult lives antagonizing one another.
Blame Katrina,
he said with a sappy grin that told Levi just how whipped his brother truly was.
I know it sounds trite and corny, but she's made me a better man. But I have to admit that I still have my asshole moments, so don't go thinking I'm a total pussy.
Levi laughed. Yeah, his brother was a changed man, for the better, thanks to the woman who'd stuck by his side for 12 long years as his best friend. Katrina and Mason were made for each other, like two pieces of a puzzle that fit perfectly together. Exactly the same way he felt about Sarah. But love? He cared deeply for her, and their connection was far more intense than anything he'd ever experienced. But honestly, Levi was afraid to believe it could really be true. His heart pounded hard and fast in his chest as he glanced from the man who'd just sat down at the opposite end of the bar by himself and ordered a drink from Tara, to Mason.
What makes you think I'm in love with her?
Mason rolled his eyes.
Jesus Christ, and here I thought I was dense when it came to my feelings for Katrina. Here's a simple question for you. Are you willing to let her walk out of your life and never see her again once this is all over?
His answer was immediate, because he'd already thought about the possibility of Sarah leaving him once she knew she was safe, and it made his gut twist with turmoil.
No.
Mason tapped a few fingers on the top of the bar.
In order to keep her, are you prepared to offer Sarah something more than whatever this temporary arrangement between the two of you is?
Yes.
Another automatic reply he didn't need to contemplate, even as he watched Sarah deliver a tray of drinks to a couple at a table, then switched his gaze back to the man at the end of the bar, who kept glancing over his shoulder to look at something, or someone.
Of course. Like, forever?
Mason asked, very seriously.
Yes.
The realization made him breathless, because forever meant the rest of his life. And Jesus Christ, he wanted that with Sarah. He wanted to give her everything she'd been robbed of since the death of her family, everything she deserved and more. He wanted to take care of her, protect her, and yes, love her.
Oh, fuck.
He breathed in shock and awe as well. He loved Sarah.
Ah, the light bulb finally went on.
Mason grinned knowingly.
Both Clay and I have seen the way you look at her, the way you've upended your own life to help her when you've never done that for any other woman. We recognized the signs before you did, because we've both been there. You just have to figure out the rest for yourself.
Levi already had, he realized. His biggest hurdle, he knew, was convincing a woman who believed she wasn't worthy of being loved, that she was adored and cherished and special and always would be. She'd spent most of her life being abandoned by people she trusted and believing that she wasn't good enough. He was going to do whatever it took to convince her otherwise, because he wasn't letting her go, ever, without a fight. She was his. Levi met his brother's gaze and didn't miss the cocky expression on Mason's face. Funny how the tables had turned. How his brother, a totally reformed man-whore, was now giving Levi advice about love. Out of the corner of his eye, Levi saw the guy he'd been watching at the far end of the bar slide off his stool and head back toward where the restrooms were located. Nothing unusual for many of the patrons in the bar, but the fact that the guy was alone made Levi more suspicious than usual. He didn't think Sarah's ex would be bold and brave enough to make a move on her in public, but as a cop, Levi had seen and learned that desperate people did very stupid things without thinking through the consequences. He had no idea what Dylan looked like, and he didn't think Sarah had seen the man's face when she came up to the service bar to collect her drink orders. She was so busy, Levi knew she wasn't aware of her surroundings beyond her own customers, which wasn't a good thing at all. But that's exactly why Levi was here, and as he saw the man leave the restroom, he narrowed his gaze, his body instinctively on edge as he watched every move the other guy made. He didn't like the way he stood off to the side in a shadowy corner, or the way he was watching Sarah so intently.
You got your eye on that guy who just came out of the men's room, too?
Mason asked in a low voice that was equally tense.
Yep.
Clearly, his brother was feeling the same apprehensive vibe that Levi was. Trusting his intuition, he slid off the bar stool.
How about we go and ask him a few questions? I'm in.
Never one to pass up a good confrontation, Mason flexed his shoulders and fell into step beside Levi. As they started in the man's direction, Sarah headed the same way to deliver a full tray of empty glasses to the bar, oblivious to anything except where she was going. She rounded the corner way before Levi could get there, and the guy abruptly stepped right out in front of Sarah, causing the tray of glasses to fly from her hand and crash to the floor. Glass shattered everywhere, the sound barely heard above the music playing in the bar. All Levi saw was Sarah's round, horrified eyes as the man who had to be Dylan wrapped an arm around her waist and began hauling her back down the hallway, toward the back exit. As soon as she opened her mouth, Dylan clapped his hand over her lips to stifle her scream. Adrenaline rushed through Levi's veins as he bolted toward Sarah, with Mason following. There was so much going on around them that none of the patrons even noticed that Sarah had been grabbed. He felt the crunch of glass beneath his shoes, heard Tara yell something from the service bar, but didn't stop his pursuit. Once he cleared the main bar area where all the customers were, he withdrew his service revolver from the holster beneath his shirt, but before he could say or do anything, Dylan pushed open the delivery door and dragged Sarah out back with him. Fuck! Levi ran after them, bursting through the door to find Dylan standing close to a beat-up Toyota, now facing Levi, with a knife at Sarah's throat. Levi came to an abrupt stop, but kept his gun trained on Dylan's head, the only part of his body Levi could see. The motion detector light had come on, and the panic he saw in Sarah's eyes nearly destroyed him, but he managed to keep his cool. He had to put his emotions aside in order to think clearly and rationally. Vaguely, he realized that Mason hadn't followed him out, that Levi was on his own. Where the fuck had his brother gone?
"Let her go, Dylan," Levi ordered.
"The only place she's going is with me,"
the other man yelled back as the knife shook under Sarah's chin.
"She's mine, and I'm taking her back where she belongs."
"She doesn't want to go back to Sacrosanct,"
Levi said very clearly, just as he saw a figure come around the building behind Dylan and move quietly toward the other man. Mason, thank God.
"Doesn't matter what she wants."
Sarah made a soft sound of distress. Dylan must have tightened his hold, and Levi's gut twisted, and he exhaled a harsh breath. As a cop, he'd been trained to negotiate during a standoff, to defuse the situation before it escalated to violence. Right now, it took every ounce of control Levi possessed to follow procedure instead of acting on pure instinct and shooting the guy between the eyes.
"Think about what you're doing, Dylan."
He caught another movement as Mason crouched and eased around the car where Dylan was standing.
"If you kidnap Sarah and try to take her back, you're going with a police escort."
"If you don't put your fucking gun down, I'm going to slit her throat!"
Dylan yelled, as if he hadn't heard Levi or just didn't care.
"Do it now!"
The other man waved the knife in the air in a threatening gesture. With the blade away from Sarah's throat, Mason snuck up and grabbed Dylan's arm, the one holding the weapon, and quickly twisted it behind his back, so high and hard that the man screamed in pain and automatically released the knife, letting go of Sarah. Once freed, she stumbled toward Levi. He grasped her hand and pulled her behind him just as Mason wrenched both of Dylan's arms behind his back, pinning them tight. Threat disabled, Levi holstered his gun, and as much as he wanted to take a frightened Sarah in his arms and reassure both her and himself that she was fine, they weren't done with Dylan just yet. Levi glanced at Sarah and gave her a reassuring glance.
"Stay right here,"
he said, and then approached Dylan. Even though Mason had Dylan immobilized, the other man still tried to come at Levi, but Mason's hold was so strong and unrelenting, Dylan's struggles barely registered. Levi stopped in front of the furious man, who looked just as enraged as Levi felt at the moment.
"Listen to me,"
Levi said, his jaw clenching.
"Sarah is not going anywhere with you. Not now, not ever. If you come near her again, you'll be sorry that you did."
"Fuck you,"
Dylan spat. Levi shifted his gaze to Mason's, the smirk on his brother's face indicating Mason was itching for a fight, before he glanced at Dylan.
"I suggest you get in your car, go back to wherever you came from, and stay there."
"Not without Sarah."
The man was persistent, he'd give him that, but Levi had warned him.
"Then I guess we'll just have to change your mind about that."
Instead of bothering with the prick himself, Levi walked over to where Sarah was still standing, her arms crossed over her chest, her body trembling, and pulled her against him, relieved to finally hold her, knowing she was safe. Levi looked over his shoulder, just as Mason said,
"Okay, asshole, let's knock some sense into that hard head of yours. Maybe you'll understand just how serious we are about you not going near Sarah ever again."
Mason let go of Dylan, who predictably turned around, throwing the first angry punch in Mason's direction, which Levi knew his brother was hoping for. Anticipating the assault, Mason stopped it with his forearm and used his other hand to deliver a blow to Dylan's stomach that had him doubling over before attempting to charge at Mason once again. Stupid move, considering Mason had learned to fight on the mean streets where they'd grown up. The brawl was on, and there wasn't a doubt in Levi's mind that Mason would take care of Sarah's problem and work Dylan over until he convinced the asshole to stay away. Sarah didn't need to stay and watch the beatdown, not when she was so visibly shaken. Gently grabbing her arm, he turned her away from the bloodbath about to ensue and led her back inside the bar. Tara rushed up to him, clearly panicked.
"I didn't know if you wanted me to call 911 or if you wanted to handle the situation yourself, so I didn't call the police."
"Perfect,"
he said, noticing that someone had cleaned up the shattered glasses from the floor.
"Mason is getting rid of the garbage out back, and consider Sarah off work for the rest of the night. I'm taking her home."
"Of course,"
Tara said, understanding in her tone. Sarah was silent as he guided her out to his truck, probably still in shock, and remained so on the drive home. He didn't want to bombard her with questions just yet, not when his own emotions were churning inside of him, ranging from fear of seeing her so vulnerable with yet another weapon threatening her life, to anger that anyone dared to try and hurt her, to a rush of possessiveness that had threatened his control like nothing ever before. They arrived at his place, and she walked through the kitchen to the dining room, still much too quiet and subdued. His entire body felt as though he were going to splinter apart at the thought of nearly losing Sarah, of Dylan either driving off with her or using that blade to prove some kind of deranged point.
"Sarah,"
he said, just as she reached the dining table. She turned around, the lost, painful look in her eyes so damned heartbreaking he could barely stand it. He closed the distance between them and rubbed his hands up and down her arms.
"Are you okay?"
he asked gruffly.
"I'm fine," she said in a barely audible voice. "But I think it's time for me to go."
He didn't have to ask where. He already knew the answer, that nothing had changed, and she was following through on her plans to get out of the city. Dread tightened in his chest. Her eyes filled with tears.
"This is what happens when people are around me," she said in a raspy voice. "I always seem to attract trouble, and you're such a great guy. You deserve someone who has her life together. You deserve someone so much better than me."
He could feel her physically pulling away from him, withdrawing. He processed her words, saw the yearning in her eyes that contradicted everything she'd just said, and wondered if her reasons for walking away from him ran much deeper than the excuses she'd just given him. He trusted what they could have together, what they could build together, but knew that she'd been burned by hopeful relationships before. It was her inability to believe that she was worthy of being loved that was keeping her from staying with him.
"I love you,"
he said without hesitation, because if that's what it took for her to remain right here with him, in his house, in his life, then he was putting every fucking thing on the table. She sucked in a breath, the fear in her eyes unmistakable.
"You can't,"
she said in an aching voice. He held her face in his hands to make sure she couldn't look away from him.
"I can, and I do. I don't care about your past, Sarah. I only care about us and a future together."
She made an inarticulate sound, one that was wrapped up with doubts and denial. Desperation surged through him, along with a possessive emotion he couldn't contain. Right here, right now, he didn't want to hold back anything with Sarah. Tomorrow morning, it would be soon enough for them to hash out her fears, because there was no fucking way he was letting her walk out his door without a down and dirty fight. It just wasn't going to happen. Threading his fingers into her hair, he brought her mouth to his and kissed her, hard and deep, until she softened beneath the onslaught of his lips and tongue and joined in with her own frantic abandon. She thought this was the last time they'd be together, but he was going to make damn sure it was just the beginning. Her hands tugged at the hem of his t-shirt, and he let her pull it over his head while yanking hers off, too. As they made their way toward his bedroom, the rest of their clothes were haphazardly removed. Both of them naked, he pressed her down onto his bed, reached for a condom and sheathed himself, then settled between her spread legs. This wasn't about foreplay and fun. This was about claiming her, branding her, loving her. It was about stripping things down physically so she'd allow him in emotionally. He wouldn't accept anything less. He stroked the head of his cock through her wet folds and pushed into her, just enough that she knew what was about to happen, and that's all the warning he gave her. The first driving thrust had her crying out in pleasure. The second had the sound of her sweet, unyielding moan echoing in his ears. After that, heat and desire blended together, creating an inferno of need that had them both straining against one another as he drove deeper and deeper inside her. He didn't hold her down, didn't restrain her hands. He gave her all the freedom she could ever want to touch him, to make her own demands, and strip away all his defenses so there was no doubt in her mind how serious he was about her, about them. Things turned wild and uncontrolled quickly, and he welcomed her unbridled response, too. She wrapped her legs tight around his waist and raked her fingers down his spine, marking him based on the sting of pain along his skin. He exhaled on a hiss of breath as need and passion entwined, shoving him closer to the edge. He delved all 10 fingers into her silky hair and tipped her head back. Her lips parted, and her dark, stormy blue eyes latched onto his, exposing her emotions, her desires.
"This is where I belong, Sarah,"
he said raggedly, slamming his body against hers again and again.
"Right here, with you, inside you."
Her expression exposed every one of her vulnerabilities, including her true and honest feelings for him.
"Yes,"
she whispered. And that one word sent them both free-falling into the sweet depths of exquisite pleasure. Chapter 13 Sarah woke up in a now familiar position, snuggled up to Levi with him holding her securely in his embrace. Morning light from outside was starting to stream into the room through the window, but she didn't move. She didn't want to disturb Levi, and she wanted time to process everything that had happened last night, now that her head was clear and her thoughts were no longer clouded by panic and fear. She wasn't surprised that Dylan had found her. She'd been more shocked that he'd been bold enough, and stupid enough, to try and abduct her right at work. He'd never been the brightest guy, and his actions last night had proved as much. She couldn't deny that she was grateful that both Levi and Mason had been there to defuse the situation, to make sure that she was protected to the best of their ability. She owed them both for keeping her safe when things could have ended much differently. Was she still worried that Dylan would come after her again? A part of her was concerned, yes, because it was always a possibility, and there were no guarantees. But during the course of the night, she'd kept wondering what it would be like to stay with Levi, to stop running and just live life happily, to be a part of his family and finally feel as though she'd found a place where she belonged. More than anything in the world, she wanted that. She wanted Levi. And he loved her. Remembering his emotional confession stole the breath from her lungs. Now that she wasn't overwhelmed with anxiety, her heart acknowledged that admission, and she didn't doubt his sincerity for a second. Levi was honest and real, a man who stayed true to his word, something she'd seen firsthand. Closing her eyes, she inhaled his now familiar scent and listened to his steady breathing. Her past was filled with people she'd trusted, who'd rejected and disappointed her, who'd made promises that they'd never followed through on that left her devastated. It had become a recurring pattern in her life, something she'd come to expect and anticipate. Even with Levi, and that hadn't been a fair comparison when she'd never given him a real chance. Even as she'd tried to push him away over the past 6 weeks since initially meeting him, Levi had refused to accept defeat. He'd persisted, even after taking a bullet for her. He'd given her a place to stay, insisted, actually, after discovering where and how she lived. He protected her when he learned about Dylan. Not once did he make her feel like an inconvenience, and most importantly, he didn't give up on her, not even last night when she'd panicked and shunned his declaration of love. Instead, he'd showed her how much he cared, how much he wanted her, how emotionally invested he was in her, in them. She swallowed hard, realizing she was at the most important crossroad of her life. She could leave and walk away from Levi because she was too afraid to believe he wanted her in all the ways that mattered, or she could stay and open her heart to all the possibilities that lay ahead of her with this amazing man supporting her. This time, there were no fears complicating her decision, no doubts or hesitations or confusion. No, her feelings came to her with such clarity, she knew that she loved him as well. How could she not, when he was the best man she'd ever known, despite his own messed up childhood? If he could open his heart to her after everything he'd been through, then she was willing to take that chance with him as well. She just hoped that she wasn't too late after her adverse reaction to his declaration last night. The ringing of the doorbell startled her, and beside her, Levi roused ever so slightly. It was only 8 in the morning, and she couldn't imagine who was there, unless it was someone from Levi's family. A firm knock sounded, and Levi woke up completely. With a grumble and a curse, he rolled out of bed, put on a pair of sweatpants, and walked out of the bedroom without a shirt on and his hair disheveled from her fingers twisting in the strands last night. Curious to know who was at the door, she slid out of bed, too, and put on one of Levi's t-shirts that was long enough to fall mid-thigh. As she walked down the hallway, she heard 2 male voices, Levi's and another familiar one, Rick, the leader of Sacrosanct. Her skin prickled with trepidation, her knees went weak, and she pressed her back against the nearest wall so she didn't collapse to the floor. Her heart pounded hard in her chest, and she strained to hear their conversation, which started with Rick introducing himself in that pleasant way of his that had always made her feel distinctly uncomfortable, though he'd never hurt her personally.
"How did you find my place?"
Levi demanded to know, his voice sharp and authoritative.
"And what the fuck do you want? If you're here for Sarah, you'll have to get through me first, and I can pretty much guarantee that she won't get very far." "I found your place because, like you, I have my sources, and I'm not here for Sarah or to issue threats,"
Rick said in a calm, placating tone of voice.
"But to reassure you that Dylan will no longer be bothering her. He can be a bit obsessive, and I just found out from one of my assistants that he's been harassing her." "Damn fucking straight he's been harassing her,"
Levi said, not doing anything to subdue his anger.
"In fact, he threatened to take her back to Sacrosanct, where she was held against her will. That had to be some kind of mistake."
Once again, the leader's tone was modulated, as it always was.
"We don't hold people against their will. Our main gates are always locked, but everyone is free to come and go as they please. I'm gonna have to call bullshit on that, considering I know all about the ongoing investigation with the FBI and ATF.
Levi said, sarcasm lacing his deep voice as he acknowledged what he was already privy to.
"But right now, all I care about is that Sarah is completely left alone." "I understand. I don't want any problems either, or another investigation."
Which was exactly why Rick had made a personal appearance, Sarah knew. The leader continued.
"Your brother made his point with Dylan last night,"
he said meaningfully, letting Levi know that he was well aware of what had gone down at Kincaid's.
"We just picked Dylan up, and he's being put on probation and will be transferred to another community. He won't be back." "I don't even want to know what any of that means,"
Levi replied.
"But if he does come back, I can guarantee I will rain the wraths of hell down on you and your community." "Duly noted."
The conversation ended, and Sarah heard the front door close. She stepped out around the corner, and Levi stopped in his tracks when he saw her, his gaze immediately turning cautious.
"I heard everything," she said before he could ask.
Levi slowly closed the distance between them, shaking his head.
"Is he always so agreeable?"
He doesn't want to draw any negative attention to the community, so in this case, yes. I'm sure he's trying to cover his ass since you're a cop.
Too late.
Levi grinned.
Trust me, it's just a matter of time before ATF is up his ass again. From the things I heard from my contact at the 18th District PD, Rick and his community won't be around for long.
Levi stared at Sarah, his gaze searching hers, as if looking for answers to everything that had transpired last night. He looked nervous, and she understood why. He was anticipating that this morning she was going to be the end of them. She put him out of his misery.
I'm not going anywhere, Levi.
He didn't look as reassured as she'd thought he would, and his expression remained tentative.
What does that mean, exactly?
She gave him a soft smile.
It means that I'm staying right here, with you, despite my fears and hang-ups because of my past.
Sweetheart, we all have hang-ups.
He gently brushed her hair away from her cheek.
All I want is for you to give us a chance. And that's something I've never asked another woman to do, and you want to know why?
The emotion shining in his eyes was unlike anything that had ever been directed solely at her, and it was so easy to bask in his affection.
Why?
Because you are everything I need in my life, but didn't know until you were a part of it,
he stated simply.
For 5 weeks, I pursued you because there was something about you that I wasn't willing to give up on. Something so sweet and genuine. And then I discovered how similar our pasts were, and it all made so much sense why I was drawn to you. I've shared things with you that no one else knows, not even my brothers. I want to share everything with you.
She closed her eyes for a moment, wondering if she ought to pinch herself to make sure that this was all real, that Levi was real and not some figment of her imagination. When she opened them, the answer was right in front of her, smiling at her with hope in his eyes and his heart on his sleeve, proving that everything about this moment was real, and she wanted it all with him. She smiled back at him.
I love you, Levi Kincaid.
He blinked at her in surprise.
Yeah?
He asked huskily, though there was a distinct happiness in his eyes that warmed her from the inside out.
Yes.
She wrapped her arms around his neck and pulled him down for a kiss, and for the first time in a very long time, everything felt perfect and right. Chapter 14. 1 month later. Levi was a man in love. That was something he'd never believed he'd ever have, but one single woman made it all possible, Sarah Robbins. She'd changed his life. And as he glanced at her as she sat beside him while they watched Mason and Katrina get married in Clay and Samantha's backyard, he knew he'd changed her life, too. Somehow, two broken, damaged people with screwed-up pasts had found one another and had managed to make each other whole. Sarah was watching the ceremony with big, wide eyes, listening as vows were spoken and rings were exchanged. She was stunningly beautiful in a peach lace dress that skimmed the curves, gradually filling out her body, thanks to the meals he cooked, and her blonde hair was a bit shorter now, but silky and shiny. But most of all, she looked relaxed, happy, and content. She was no longer the timid woman he'd originally met at the convenience store. She was more vibrant, more confident, and he loved seeing those changes in her, because it only made their relationship stronger, on every level. He'd gotten a clean bill of health and was back to work patrolling the streets of Chicago. Since he still worked swing shift, something he was trying to change to spend more time with Sarah, she insisted on waitressing at Kincaid's to help with any expenses, even though he'd told her it wasn't necessary. But at least he knew she was in a safe and protected environment, and she truly enjoyed being around her new friends and family. But what Levi was proudest of was the fact that she'd decided to go back to school to pursue her nursing degree, which was something she'd wanted to do for a long time. Now she could, with his full support. Everything between the two of them seemed to be falling into place nicely, but as he watched Mason smile at his new bride with the biggest, dorkiest, happiest grin on his face when he was announced as her husband, Levi knew that there was still one more thing he wanted in his life. He hated to be selfish when he had so much to be thankful for, but he wanted Sarah as his wife, not just his girlfriend. He needed to give her that promise of forever and reassure her that they were in this for the long haul together. He planned to make it happen, but he was just a little nervous about whether or not she was ready to take that next step in their relationship. He'd find out soon enough. The ceremony ended, and Mason and Katrina walked out into the small gathering of people who'd been invited to help celebrate their nuptials. The day's celebration was an intimate but informal affair, with just family and close friends present, 17 people in all. Mason had worn a white dress shirt with a purple-hued tie to match the tips of Katrina's blonde hair, and a pair of dark trousers. The bride had opted for a knee-length, strapless white dress that showed off the colorful butterflies covering her arm. Katrina couldn't look more beautiful and happy, and Mason, well, that cocky expression on his face said it all. Everyone gathered around the bride and groom as Mason poured champagne into each of their glasses for a toast, bypassing Levi, who was holding a glass of water for obvious reasons. When Mason reached Samantha, she already had a glass of water in her hand as well. Mason frowned at her.
Seriously, Samantha? Are you becoming a teetotaler like Levi? It's my wedding, and the champagne is frickin' expensive, so have a drink.
Samantha glanced at Clay, then back at Mason with an impish smile.
I really can't. It's not good for the baby.
Mason gave her an odd look of confusion.
The baby?
Then it dawned on him, and his eyes grew wide in shock.
Holy shit! You're having a baby!
We are, Clay confirmed proudly.
Oh my God!
Katrina squealed happily, clearly not caring that the attention was suddenly on someone else.
This is the best news ever! Mason is going to be an uncle, and I'm going to be an aunt!
Congratulations, Sarah said as she gave Samantha a warm hug. Levi shook his brother's hand, then leaned over and kissed his sister-in-law on the cheek.
I'm so happy for both of you. Thanks, man.
Clay met Levi's gaze, and for a moment they shared a look that commiserated on how far they'd all come, how much they'd all changed, all because of the right woman in their life.
It just feels right, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Levi agreed, because he felt the same way about Sarah. A toast was made to the newlyweds, then again to Clay and Samantha for their baby news. The atmosphere was festive, and even though there was only a small group of guests attending the wedding, Mason had gone all out with a high-end buffet of food and even a DJ for music. The celebration and happiness was infectious, and later in the evening, when a slow song was playing, Levi escorted Sarah out onto the dance floor and pulled her into his arms. Like always, she came willingly, cuddling against his chest in the sweetest way possible. She laid her cheek on his chest and tucked her head beneath his chin, her entire body relaxing completely against his as they swayed to the music.
Are you having a good time?
He murmured into her ear. She lifted her head and smiled up at him, her face wreathed with joy.
I'm having a great time. I love your family.
His heart seemed to expand inside his chest.
They love you too, but not as much as I do, obviously.
Her eyes twinkled playfully.
Yeah, and how much is that?
I love you forever.
And he was about to prove it. They were at his brother's dinner reception, surrounded by loved ones, but for right now, Levi kept everything as private as possible, just between the two of them. Letting Sarah go, he moved back a step and withdrew the small black box he'd put into his pants pocket earlier. As soon as she saw it, she gasped and her hand flew to her mouth in shock. He merely smiled and popped open the lid to reveal a sparkling engagement ring he'd had designed just for her. In that magical moment, every anxiety faded and certainty settled over him.
Sarah Robbins, will you marry me? You make me whole and complete and—
Yes, she said, interrupting him. I want nothing more than to marry you.
He pushed the ring on her finger, and it was a perfect fit, just like she was. Pulling her back into his arms, he kissed her, then whispered in her ear,
You know what this means, don't you?
When she gave him a questioning look, he grinned down at her and said,
You're going to be cuffed to me for life.
She laughed and hugged him tight.
There's no place I'd rather be.
Epilogue. Tara Kent cast a quick glance at the small clock behind the bar. Another half hour and Kincaid's would be open for business. Other employees were gradually arriving for work, and prep for the evening crowd was underway. She checked her liquor inventory and made sure the bins were filled with ice, then set out the garnish trays over at the service area of the bar. Out of the corner of her eye, she saw someone walk into the bar through the front door that was left unlocked, and she glanced up, expecting to see one of the bar waitresses arriving for her shift. As soon as she caught sight of a man in a business suit, she automatically said, "I'm sorry, but we don't open until 4. Then she looked at his face, and confusion washed over her. At first glance, the man looked exactly like Clay. The strong, chiseled features were the same, as were the stunning blue eyes and full, sensual lips. She'd always had a crush on her boss, but she'd never acted on it. But damn, she'd never seen him in a suit before, and this one looked like an expensive, custom-made number, and he looked sexy as hell. Heat and awareness settled low and deep in her belly, shocking her. What the hell? Clay was married to Samantha, who Tara absolutely adored. So where had that physical reaction come from to a man who was taken and whom she'd known for the past few years? She blinked and looked closer, and then she started seeing subtle differences. Not just the high-dollar suit, but the cut of this man's hair was shorter than Clay's, and the way he carried himself was dynamic and powerful and confident in a way that's